Good morning. Welcome to Bel Air, Texas this morning. We're glad for those who are visiting. We're glad to have you here and for taking the time to meet with us today to come before God and worship. And for all of our normal members, we're also glad to see you as well. That today being the fifth Sunday of the month, here at Bel Air, we do things slightly different in regards to the organization of our worship service. That today we will be focusing upon the Lord's Supper. We will have a couple additional talks, one given by Truth, one given by Angel, focusing our minds upon the Lord's Supper. And as we are kind of at a spot with some of our Bible classes, that in the large auditorium we've been studying prayer. One of the phrases I think people usually associate with that is the power of prayer. We've talked a lot about different prayers within the Bible, different people who, looking at how they had talked with God, what they were trying to communicate with them. But this morning is actually going to be the last class of that, when we'll be beginning our new songs class. And so in light of that, what we wanted to do this morning was to take a look at some of the songs that we have learned in this class previously, focus upon the power of song. How song, as well, in addition to prayer, is a way that we communicate with God, how we praise God, and the impact that it can have upon focusing our minds, especially upon things like the Lord's Supper. So this morning, again, we appreciate you being here. We are so glad that you've come, and we look forward to joining together with you in song and singing to God, praising God, and focusing upon Jesus' death upon the cross. Before we begin that, let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll enter into our service. Almighty God, we are so grateful for this day. We are so grateful for this time that we have to gather together with our brothers and sisters to come before you and worship. And dearly Father, as we prepare for this, we pray that we might clear our minds of the thoughts that we have, the anxieties, the worries, and that we might be able to focus upon you. And dearly Father, we are so grateful for this blessing that it is to have song, to have prayer, to have our brothers and sisters to come together as a group and bring before you these things. Dearly Father, we pray in all things that we might focus upon you, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us as we go through this service, and help us as we leave this place to take this mind and this attitude with us. All these things we pray in your Son's name. Amen.
Before we sing, I'm going to read a passage from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Our first song this morning is "I Believe." Would you please stand while we sing this song?
There's power in the name of Jesus, name above all names. My hope is in the one who freed us, taking all the pain. Now trusting in his promises, I'll never be the same. I will ever proclaim, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the
seated. Our next song is King of Kings. Do, mi, sol, mi, do. In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets, to the virgin came the word, from the throne of endless glory, to the grave of the dirt. This time will be led in a word of prayer.
Let's all pray together. Our blessed and glorious Father in heaven, we come before you in all humility this day, thankful for this day and this opportunity we have to gather together as your children, to be one before you, to worship you from our hearts, to remember Jesus our Lord and Savior, and to edify and build up one another. Father, we're so thankful for this congregation, for this church of your people that meets here in Bel Air. We're thankful for each and every member that makes up the body, and for all the different talents and abilities that you provided for us, that working together, we may build up the body and help guide one another to perfection in your word and to service unto you. We're so thankful for our elders that guide the flock, for their wisdom, for their service, and their willingness to serve, and the love that they show to this congregation in all that they do. We pray for your guidance upon them. May they ever abide in your truth, Father, and in the wisdom that you have provided for us as they lead the flock. Father, thank you for your word and for the Spirit that has revealed your word to us and confirmed it through so many signs and miracles that we may know your will. And we are grateful that you have preserved it through these many years and that we have proof and evidence, Father, that we have an accurate representation of your will. Help us to be diligent in our study, to always open our hearts, to be ready to receive your word and make application in our life and teach others at every opportunity that we have. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us in this community. We have others that come to us from the community that are seeking your word, and we have those about us in our work, in our schools, and in our families that need your word. And we pray that you would help us to be bold and be diligent in our efforts to teach them and to share the gospel that makes joy in our lives. And we pray that we would show them the way to you, that they may be children of yours. We're mindful, Father, of the sick of our congregation and those that are undergoing treatments here. We pray for our sister Kathy and for our brother Albert and his continued treatment for cancer. We pray for our sister Charlene, and we pray that you would bless their treatments, that they would be effective and that their cancers might be removed and might be restored to full health. We're mindful, Father, of the visitors that come to us from time to time and the needs that they have. We pray that as your church, we would look out for the saints that are amongst us from other areas, that we would greet them, make them feel welcome, that we would help them in their needs in whatever way that we can. We pray, Father, that all that come to us may see our love and our joy and our zeal in serving you and will want to ask of us of why we are this way and why we have this hope, and we would be diligent in telling them about your word. Help our example to be bright in this community, that we may draw those to you. And we pray, Father, that we may always be examples, that they may see Christ living in us and the things that we do in our worship and in our lives. Father, we're so thankful for our Savior and all that he has done for us, that through him we have the remission of sins and the hope of eternal life. We're thankful for the time we have to remember him. We pray that you would bless us this morning as we take some extra time to remember all that he has done for us and as we partake the supper. Father, bless our worship. May our hearts be full of love. May we express this to you and to one another. And in our song and our prayer, may we teach and admonish one another and build one another up. We ask all these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. It's always a blessing to worship with you. Song is powerful, and it has been wonderful to sing with you already this morning. So thank you for being here. It's an encouragement to see you. I want to begin, as we reflect on Jesus' death and on the Lord's Supper, with a big question. What is the purpose of your life as one of God's people? What is the purpose of your life? I'd invite you to take a few moments and think of an answer to that question as best you can. What is the purpose of your life? I'm guessing that you're having a variety of thoughts pop into your mind. It's difficult to summarize such a big question into one sentence. And I actually had this similar question a few years ago. I've been a Christian for a while at that point, but I had that question pop into my mind. What is the purpose of my life? If I had to answer that question in one sentence, is it even possible? Is there a place in the Bible that says, here is your purpose, do this? And so I started looking, and what I found was fascinating. I found a very consistent theme. Maybe some of you thought of a couple of verses that speak directly to this. Ecclesiastes 12:13 might be the most famous one. fear God, keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. There you go. That's your purpose in life. That's it. What about Ephesians 2 and verse 10? You were created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand for us to do. There you go. There's another way to think about it. You were made for this, for good works. There's a theme that appears throughout all of Scripture that I noticed as I started to search that really stuck out to me, and I want to bring that to light this morning. It starts all the way back in the book of Exodus. So if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, that's where we'll start. What is the purpose of my life as one of God's people? I think the Bible answers this clearly with a theme that permeates all of Scripture. Exodus chapter 19, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. And at this point in the narrative, God has just brought his people, Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. He has brought them through the Red Sea to the other side and sent the waves crashing on Pharaoh and his army. And so the people of Israel are now on their own. They're a new people. And so God gives them an identity here in Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Here's what he says to them. Now, if you will carefully listen to me and keep my covenant, you will be my own possession out of all the peoples, although the whole earth is mine, and you will be my kingdom of priests and my holy nation. We'll pause right there. God says to his people, you are a kingdom of priests. If you're familiar with the scriptures, maybe you're familiar with what a priest does, or even if you're not super familiar with the scriptures, you probably have an idea of what priest means. It's kind of a religious word, right? What priests do is intercede between God and humanity. They are like the middlemen, if you will, between God and the rest of the world. And so God calls his people, Israel, to be a kingdom of priests, to represent him, to be the middlemen between him and the rest of the world, between the nations around them. That's their role in this relationship, in this covenant. And this theme comes up again, numerous places. One place that sticks out to me, you don't have to turn there, is Isaiah 49 and verse 6. God says, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, or the nations, to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. That's the purpose of his people. They are a light to the nations. God uses a different metaphor this time, but it's the same idea, isn't it? That when other nations look at God's people, they should see God's light. They should see who God is through these people, so that God can bring salvation to everyone, to the ends of the earth, not just the people of Israel. And in fact, this verse is so important that Paul quotes it himself in Acts chapter 13 in his sermon in Antioch. In Acts 13 and verse 47, he quotes this exact verse, except this time he says, this is what the Lord has commanded us. So it's not just for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. Paul says this is for us, speaking of himself and Barnabas, but I think for all of us as Christians as well. This is our mission, to be a light to the nations and to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And this appears over and over again in Scripture. And if you don't believe me yet, this is our purpose. I think the clincher is in 1 Peter 2. So if you turn there with me, please. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And you're going to see some language that Peter uses that you're going to recognize. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Pay careful attention to what we read here, and you will definitely notice something. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. What is the purpose of my life as a Christian? Peter answers that very clearly, I think. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. He says to a group of Christians, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession. Let me pause right there. Do you recognize that? That's Exodus 19, isn't it? Peter says to this group of Christians, hey, this is you now. You are that kingdom of priests, a people for his own possession. And why did God choose you? Why did God save you? So that, let's continue reading, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Your translation might say, proclaim the excellencies. I love that. What is my purpose as one of God's people? I think it's pretty clear. My purpose is to proclaim Jesus, to proclaim the excellencies of the one who called me. That is my purpose. And so it should come as no surprise to us that what we are about to do later in this service and taking the Lord's Supper is an act of proclamation. That's what Paul calls it in 1 Corinthians 11. So if you turn there with me, please, in 1 Corinthians 11, we'll read the text that Aaron just read for us a little bit ago, but maybe in a new light. My purpose as a follower of Jesus is to proclaim him to others. So here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. Paul says to the Corinthians, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it, and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Here it is in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. As we take the Lord's Supper together this morning, let's remember that we are proclaiming the Lord's death. In fact, that's what we have been doing. I love the first hymn that we sang. We've been proclaiming Jesus in song, too. I will ever proclaim, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's what we do in song. That's so powerful that we're reflecting on today. And that's what we do in the Lord's Supper. We proclaim the Lord's death. By choosing to eat the unleavened bread and drinking the cup when it comes around, you are making a statement. You are saying something by doing that. I believe this really happened, and my life has changed because of it. So let this ritual serve as a reminder of the commitment that you have made to proclaim Jesus' death, not just here for about 10 minutes as we partake of the Lord's Supper, but always. That's your purpose. That's our purpose as God's people. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and every day. And not just here, but at work and at school and in our community, as our brother Rick prayed for us this morning. That is our purpose as followers of Jesus. Today and every day, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Our next song is Calvary.
Savior, Lord, carry the cross for us.
come to the altar. Do, mi, do, so, ti, re. Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today. Sorrows and train them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh,
I have written on my book as I prepared this morning to say it's a beautiful day, not knowing what the weather was going to be, not knowing how cloudy it's going to be, and I still say it's a beautiful day because we're here with one another worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth with one heart, one mind, and unity in Christ, and that's a beautiful thing. Amen? Truth gave us a good talk on proclaiming the Lord's death this morning. Blown away in 5 minutes. I don't think it was 10 minutes, Truth. It was 5 minutes. His talk really opened up my eyes in a short time. And Michael leading our songs, new songs, difficult, but beautiful. And I appreciate you for doing that. Before I get started with the talk, I also wanted to give a special thanks to Daniel and to the elders for giving us this opportunity every fifth Sunday to allow some members, other brethren of the church, to grow, to serve, and to encourage others in God's word. So thank you. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 25. And I want us to remember, not only proclaim, but also remember this morning the Lord's death as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. In some ways that I remember the Lord's death, last time I was up here 4 weeks ago, we spoke on some themes in Romans chapter 5. Now I want us to speak on some connections to the remembrance of the Lord's death here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 25. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as your father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him the glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Remembering Christ's death brings tons of beautiful passages, as we know. John 3:16, Romans 5, 1 Corinthians 11. Truth took us back to Exodus this morning. But I wanted to focus on the words the Apostle Peter is writing to the Christians that are scattered right now throughout the Roman Empire, who are facing persecution, who are facing difficult times. And he tells them by starting out by saying, his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. And that's the first connection I want to make this morning to the Lord's Supper, a time for hope and reconciliation. Just as 1 Peter speaks of setting your hope fully on the grace that is to come, as found in verse 13, the Lord's Supper is a time for believers to set their hope on Christ's future, grace, and the joy of his resurrection that we have in him. The second connection I wanted to make using the scripture this morning to remember the Lord's death is a call to the holiness and the readiness. The exhortation in 1 Peter of preparing your minds, other translations say, gird up the loins of your mind. and live holy lives because God is holy, as found in verse 15, can be applied this morning as we're about to partake of the Lord's table. It prompts us followers and believers of Christ to approach the communion with clear minds and living lives that are pleasing to God, prepared for action and spiritual growth. And lastly, yet most importantly this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1 helps us connect by remembering Christ's sacrifice. By meditating and reading through this first chapter over and over again in preparation this morning, I couldn't help but highlight of God's great love, mercy, and grace. We are partakers of the Lord's table, can gain a renewed appreciation for Christ's sacrificial death and his central role in our salvation. Just like verse 4 says, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let us meditate on these connections as we partake of the Lord's table this morning. God bless.
And that concludes the Lord's Supper. Our next song is All to Us.
Do mi so do. Precious cornerstone, sure foundation, you are faithful to the end. We are
my cross, my shame, rise up in my rest, Lord.
salvation. After this next talk will be the goodness of God.
Thank you, Michael, for leading our singing this morning into truth. And Angel, again, thank y'all. It's been a pleasure to work with both y'all as we prepared for this morning. And to Robert and Alex, thank you as well. That I think my heart is still racing for y'all, that I cannot imagine the panic that would be in my system had I been the one behind the mouse or the clicker today. Regardless, though, it's been a great day to be here. And I think the songs that we've sung, is my hope, have been encouraging to everyone here, that as we have prepared for this, as we have tried to organize our thoughts, hopefully you can see the central themes that we have tried to tie together. The first one being proclaiming our Lord's death. And the first song that we sang, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in God the Father. We proclaim to the world our belief in him every morning and every Sunday that we take these emblems, and we partake in the Lord's Supper. And as well, not only that, we believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Angel has helped us to reflect upon remembering, what do we remember? We remember that Calvary covers it all. We remember the grace, the mercy that is available to us through our Lord's sacrifice, through his death upon the cross. And as well, we remember that there is an invitation to all people to come to the altar, to come to him, to partake in the blessings of that sacrifice. And as we close out this morning, as we bring to a close our thoughts, I'm reminded of a phrase that Paul uses in Romans. What then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say when we consider the things that we have sung with one another this morning? What should we do? And I think that Daniel has preached a couple sermons recently that really focus our minds upon it, that when we consider the good news of the gospel, that Jesus is King, there is demanded an answer. What is that answer? It is obedience. It is faith in him. And so as the last 1.5 songs we sang, we focus upon what does that mean to us, that Jesus is our all in all, that he is everything to us, that he is all to us, everything we need, everything we could ask for, we could want, he is the answer to those things. And that is ultimately what we do and what we consider when we partake in the Lord's Supper, when we reflect upon these things, when we sing to one another. These are the types of things we are singing on. And there was a phrase that I mentioned at the beginning, the power of song. And as I have tried to wrap my head around, how would I explain what is the power of song to someone? It's a little bit different from prayer. I think prayer for me is a little bit easier to put into words. But for song, what is it that makes songs powerful? What makes a song powerful? Why is it that when we sing, "It is well with my soul" as a congregation, and what is it, the third verse, I think there's a swell that overtakes the room. What is it that when we sing songs like Dare to Stand Like Joshua, or these different songs, what is it that makes them powerful? And to me, what the power of song is whenever we come together as a congregation, when we come together as people who have all kinds of different experiences, backgrounds, all the above, and for those moments, we together sing our emotions. That singing these songs is an outward expression of internal and overwhelming abundance of emotion. And so the final song that we sing today, we're going to sing The Goodness of God, is a song that whenever I think about it, and whenever I look around at all the different people in here, knowing some of the things that people are going through, knowing what some people are focusing on, how powerful is it to consider the fact that we all stand here resolute in our faith that no matter what may happen to us in this life, we are here to sing of the goodness of God, that all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. That is what the power of song is able to do for us, that it is able to bring us all together for us to express emotions that sometimes we struggle to put into words to God, of how we feel about him, how we appreciate him, and what he has done for us. So this morning, the invitation that I would like to offer is for those who may be in attendance this morning, that maybe you've seen something here today, or maybe this is new experience to you, but maybe you want to look around as we're singing this final song and see the faces of some people and see the emotion, what it brings about to them. Maybe you have a question about what is it that's so special. Give us the opportunity to talk to you. If you are looking around, you see that and you feel the need to make a change, to participate in Jesus's sacrifice by giving your life to him, by taking up your own cross, by participating in baptism with him, there's not a better time than now. And so this morning, again, that invitation is for us all. Come to the altar, that there is no one who is excluded from that invitation. So as we sing this final song, again, let that reflect, let that be something we reflect on. Again, I'm so thankful for the opportunity the elders have put for us to organize this, and as well for giving us this opportunity to put our thoughts together, and maybe where our words fail us, to allow these songs to express what feelings we may have. So if there's anyone who has any need or would like to respond to this invitation call to come to the altar, please come now as we stand and sing.